today as we come to the table.
Go through all the details of the tabernacle, although it may seem tedious, and mark down what's bronze, mark down what's gold, mark down what's silver, and you'll see God speaking to you about his holiness. You're going to find that the boards underneath the temple were all undergird with silver. Why? Because the foundation of the place of worship with the Lord is blood. It's the blood of Jesus. And so all these things have meanings when you go through the word. A lot of times, and my girls will say that, you know, like, wow, you know, a lot of this stuff is kind of tedious. And why did God list all these things? And you go through all the genealogies. There's a reason God does all of it. And if you want to dig and spend the time, it's really a great study to do. And it's a lot of fun. You can get as in-depth as you want.
Pastor Mark gives some unique details today about the tabernacle, the temporary and mobile place of worship that was set up for the Israelites. It was God's dwelling place among them, a place of worship and sacrifice and renewal. It was created by men, but with God's instructions, and those instructions are incredibly detailed. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Today's message may seem tedious, but as you heard Pastor Mark say a moment ago, it all has a purpose. God didn't inspire his word for no reason. He has a motive behind the scripture, behind the list of materials and the long genealogies. So why not spend some time learning about them? You'll not only learn more about history, you'll also learn more about your incredible creator. Turn in your Bible to the book of Exodus chapter 37 for the conclusion of Pastor Mark's message, God's requirements for building and his reward for obedience.
God will do things in such a way and give such detail that he puts a signature on it. He says, I'm in this. This is me. I'm showing you that I do this. There's, you know, I want you to know that I'm in it. And so here he's showing them his grace, his mercy. Chapter 37, then Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits with its length, and 1.5 cubits was its width, 1.5 cubits its height, overlaid it with pure gold inside and out, and made a molding of gold all around it. Again, he goes now back into the whole details here of the ark of the testimony. We've covered that. Down in verse 10, he talks about the showbread. Remember, he made the table of acacia wood, 2 cubits there in verse 10 was its length, 1 cubit its width, 1.5 cubits its height, overlaid it with pure gold and made a molding of gold all around it. And again, as you look up on the screen there, you may not be able to see. I don't have that picture in front of me. I don't think you can see the table of showbread or the ark back in there. Probably only the implements on the outside. But these are those implements that were in the holy place and were also in the Holy of Holies with the Ark of the Covenant. Table of showbread was in that first room you went into, and that's where they kept the 12 loaves of bread, which represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And God, this whole picture of God's eyes always being on the nation, the Ark of the Testimony, the place where God met with man, his spirit, his presence. Verse 17, the golden lampstand, this is what they called the light of the world. And it represented the eyes of God on those 12 loaves in that same room, and God always watching over the nation and always, you know, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. So that whole picture of him watching over not only the 12 tribes of Israel, but watching over us as well. Verse 17, he also made the lampstand of pure gold of hammered work. He made the lampstand, its shaft, its branches, its bowls, its ornaments, its knobs, its flowers were of the same piece, and 6 branches came out of its sides. 3 branches were on one side and 3 branches on the other. There were 3 bowls made like almond blossoms on one branch with an ornamental knob and a flower. 3 bowls made on the other with an ornamental knob and a flower, and so for the 6 branches coming out of the lampstand. Now, it's really cool because they're making all these implements again right now, guys, in Israel. The Temple Institute, Jews all over the world, as well as other people, are donating gold and silver and all these things that they need to make all the things in the tabernacle because they believe they're going to build their third temple, which they will. And so these things are being made. And when you go there, you're going to see the actual gold menorah that they have built now that's going to be in the third temple. This thing is something like 6 feet tall and 6 feet wide. It's solid gold made of one piece of gold. It's really an amazing thing just to see. They've made another one now, and they've made these other implements. Here's what they were doing, making the things, getting prepared for the temple. Verse 25, the altar of incense, he made the incense altar of acacia wood. Its length was 1 cubit, its width was 1 cubit, it was square, and 2 cubits was its height. Its horns were of one piece with it. That is, they had those horns on the corners that represented God's strength. It was overlaid with pure gold, its tops, its sides all around, its horns also made for it, a molding of gold all around and two rings again to carry it. So he talks about that. Or remember, that was where they would go in and put the incense on it. And they take an altar, a coal from the altar, put it on the incense, and the smoke would rise. And it was this picture of the prayers of Israel going up to God. The priest would come into the holy place. There'd be the showbread. There'd be the menorah with the light shining on it. Ark of the Covenant behind the veil. Right in front of the curtain, the veil, would be the incense altar. And that priest would walk up, and he'd put the coals on the altar, hot coals on this altar here. And then he would pour the sweet incense on it, and it would just smoke and fill the room. It would just billow and fill the room. And you'd smell, the whole temple area would smell like this stuff. And it was this picture of not only the prayers going up to God, but how sweet it is as the prayers go up to God. You know, when you guys pray to the Lord, it's like a sweet aroma to the Lord. It's like an incense to him. It's pleasant to his, it's like, wow, they're praying to me. They're worshiping me. When you guys were singing to the Lord and when you're praying to him, it's not just, okay, they're doing their duty. No, it's a relationship. It's sweetness. It's this honoring of God. And he goes, that's my boy. You know, that's my girl, so to speak. Think about what it's like to the Lord. As our prayers go up, God says, you know what? In heaven, all of a sudden, here's God minding his own business. And you begin to pour your heart out to the Lord. And God says, something smells good. Something smells good. And he sees that it's you pouring your heart out to the Lord. That's what the incense altar represented. And that's truly what happens. Why did God give that representation? Because it's really what happens when you pray. It's really sweet to the Lord. It's really a blessing. Verse 29, the anointing oil for the incense. Notice he also made the holy anointing oil and the pure incense of sweet spices according to the work of a perfumer. So again, telling what it was they were supposed to be doing as far as the type of incense to use. Now they go into the altar of burnt offering. He made, we're just a couple of verses through this as well. He made the altar of burnt offering of acacia wood, 5 cubits its length, 5 cubits its width. It was square and its height was 3 cubits. He made its horns on 4 corners. The horns were of one piece with it, and he overlaid them with bronze. Now he starts talking about all the things that had to do with the altar were all of bronze. And remember, bronze in scripture is the metal of what? Judgment. That's right. Notice the Ark of the Covenant was overlaid with gold because gold is the metal of kingliness. Where they would take the ashes to use in certain things. Certain shovels that they used were made of silver, where blood was used because it represented the blood. And then here were the things that were used for the burning and of the animals and all this, the offerings in judgment, that is the sin offerings, bronze. Bronze all around the altar. Verse 2, he made the horns at 4 corners. The horns were of one piece, overlaid with bronze. He made all the utensils for the altar, the pans, shovels, basins, forks, fire pans, and utensils. He made of bronze, a grate of bronze, a network for the altar under its rim, midway from the bottom. So all these things again, the holders again, the whole thing there, but that whole picture that God gives of being used for judgment. Now he goes to verse 8, the making of the bronze laver. And he made a laver of bronze and its base of bronze from the bronze mirrors of the serving women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So he had the women bring their mirrors in that were made out of bronze, and he used them to make this bronze laver. And this, they would fill it with water, and you would go, as the priest would go, they would cleanse themselves ritually at the laver here, and it represented being clean before God, letting the judgment be taken away before they would go and minister. Now the curtains, verse 9, he made a court on the south side. The hangings of the court were fine woven linen, 100 cubits long. There were 20 pillars for them and 20 bronze sockets. The hooks and the pillars were of bands and silver. And again, he goes on talking about the layout of the structure. Now, again, to remind you of its size, as you look at the picture there, it was 150 feet long, the outer curtain, and it was 75 feet wide. So you have an idea of the size of it there. When you got into the place of the holy place, the tabernacle there in that area was like 45 feet, broken up into two different sections, 30 in the front part in the holy place. And you got to the very back, it was 15 square. You know, 15 all around, 15 high, 15 wide, and again, very specific in the dimensions that the Lord gave for it. So we see the making of the court of the tabernacle. Again, verse 16, all the hangings of the court all around were of fine woven linen. The sockets of the pillars were bronze. Again, the hooks and the pillars and their bands were silver, and they overlaid, the capitals were of silver, the pillars of the court were bands of silver. And as you read this, if you want to do a real neat study, go through all the details of the tabernacle, although it may seem tedious. And mark down what's bronze, mark down what's gold, mark down what's silver, and you'll see God speaking to you about his holiness. You're going to find that the boards underneath the temple were all undergird with silver. Why? Because the foundation of the place of worship with the Lord is blood. It's the blood of Jesus. And so all these things have meanings when you go through the word. A lot of times, and my girls will say that, you know, like, wow, you know, a lot of this stuff is kind of tedious, and why did God list all these things? And you go through all the genealogies. There's a reason God does all of this. And if you want to dig and spend the time, it's really a great study to do, and it's a lot of fun. You can get as in-depth as you want. Now we come to the materials for the tabernacle. There in verse 21, this is the inventory of the tabernacle of the testimony, which was counted according to the commandment of Moses for the service of the Levites by the hand of Ithamar and the son of Aaron the priest. Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord commanded Moses. And with him was Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, the tribe of Dan, an engraver and designer and weaver of blue, purple, scarlet thread, and fine linen. All the gold that was used in the work of the holy place, that is the gold of the offering, was 29 talents and 730 shekels according to the shekel of a sanctuary. And again, he goes through the rest of the chapter talking about the value of this. Can you imagine the value of gold today to build this temple? I was listening to someone who, when they went through this study, they were saying that I think gold was $32 an ounce. And they said, you know, just for the gold needed in this one portion of the temple, it would be, you know, something like $10 million or something. Like I was saying, today, I mean, that's like $30 million. You know, I mean, more than that. I mean, I just start adding that 32 an ounce. What is it, $1,500 an ounce now? You know, I don't know what gold is right now. But can you imagine trying to use the value that it would be in that today? Amazing. I'm sure it was as amazing for them and all the gold they used then, but wow. He finishes out in chapter 38, again, with what we've already read, so we won't cover every detail. Now, chapter 39, he gets into the making of the garments for the priesthood of the blue, purple, and scarlet thread. They made garments of ministry for the ministering in the holy place. They made holy garments for Aaron, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now he talks about, of course, making of the ephod in verses 2 through 7, making of the breastplate, which, remember, carried those 12 jewels that represented the 12 tribes of Israel, and also had what they called the Urim and the Tumim, which we don't know what that was, but some believe it was some type of black and white rocks that would glow, and God would say yes or God would say no, and the supernatural thing would happen with the high priest as they sought the will of the Lord. The priest would wear that. In verse 22, the making of the other priestly garments, and they would, again, going through the details. So you say, well, why aren't we reading all this again? Because, again, we went through all of this. We read all this in great detail working up to these chapters, but I will start in chapter 39, verse 32. As we see the work being completed here from the end of 32 down to 43, notice thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was finished. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so they did. And they brought the tabernacle to Moses, the tent and all its furnishings, its clasps, its boards, its bars, its pillars, and its sockets, the covering of ram skins dyed red, the covering of badger skins, and the veil of the covering, the ark of the testimony with its poles and its mercy seat. So again, just showing all the materials being brought in. The table, all its utensils, the showbread, the pure gold lampstand with its lamps, the lamps set in order, all the utensils, the oil for the light, the golden altar, the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, the screen for the tabernacle door, the bronze altar, its grate, its bronze, its poles, utensils, the laver with its base, the hangings of the court, its pillars, its sockets, the screens for the court gate, its cords, its pegs, all the utensils for the service of the tabernacle for the tent of meeting, and the garments of ministry to minister in the holy place, the holy garments of Aaron the priest, and his son's garments to minister as priests. According to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel, note this, did all the work. I want you to notice that first. This is completed now. And then verse 43, and this is going to explain why God reiterated all of these things from chapter 35 to 39 that we'd already been over. And you think, God, why did you do all this again? You told us all these details earlier in Exodus. Now you're giving us all these details again. And Mark is talking a million miles a minute, covering four chapters on one night to say it to us. Why did you do this? Your first hint is right there at the end of 42. They did all the work. And then look at 43. Then Moses looked over all the work, and indeed they had, and I had this underlined, done it. Completed. As the Lord had commanded, just so they had done it, and Moses blessed them. We finished the project. Way to go, guys. Now, why would God repeat all this, and why is this so important, and why do I point this out? Because the first time God gave them instruction about what they were to do, now God is confirming what they have done. The Bible says we are not just to be what? Hearers of the word, but doers. It doesn't do any good if God tells us what to do, even if we have all the details. When God gave Moses all those details, and Moses went to all the people and all the artisans and said, now here's the details, and very tedious, boom, 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 chapters of it. If they just said, wow, that's a great plan you've got there, Moses, that's great. But nobody did anything, what good would it do? No, you've got to take the plans, you've got to build it, and you've got to complete it. Now, this is in reference to a building project, but let's take this now to a spiritual reference to our lives and the Word of God. It doesn't matter how much you read. It doesn't matter how many services you come to. It doesn't matter how many Bible studies you do or attend. If you don't do it and complete it, it means nothing. Absolutely nothing. Is that convicting or what? So we have to be doers of the word. They were doers. And I think God, including all this, saying, look, I asked them to do it. Now I'm walking around taking inventory. I'm seeing, did they really do that? Did they really do that? Did they really do that? They did. They did all of it. You've done it. And then Moses looks at it and says, you've done it. And I love that last line. And Moses blessed them. God bless you guys. You did it. You really did it. You followed through and it's a done deal. I love it. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. So it's time to put it together. You shall put in the ark of the testimony and the partition wall of the ark and the veil. You shall bring in the table and arrange the things that are to be set in order. And you shall bring in the lampstand and light its lamps. You shall also set the altar of gold for incense before the ark of the testimony and put up the screen door for the door of the tabernacle. Then you shall set the altar of burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. And you shall set the laver between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar and put water in it. So again, just everything in place and then getting it ready. This would be like, turn the lights on, do this, whatever. Now the building's ready. He's bringing everything together, turn the lights on, getting the heat running, doing all the things. Turn on the gas fireplace. Verse 8, you shall set up the court all around, hang the screen in the court gate. You shall take the anointing oil, anoint the tabernacle and all that's in it. You shall hallow its utensils. So now it's dedicating it to the Lord, which we will do. We'll dedicate the building to the Lord. You shall anoint the altar of burnt offering, its utensils, consecrate the altar. The altar shall be most holy, and you shall anoint the laver and its base and consecrate it. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle of meeting and wash them with water. And I love this. Here's the pastors. And notice the pastors, if they're going to be sufficient for ministry, they have to be what? Washed in water. The Bible says God's word is like water. So the leaders and the pastors have to be washed in the water of the word so they can feed you and wash you. You shall put the holy garments on Aaron, anoint him and consecrate him that he may minister to me as priest. You shall bring his sons and clothe them with tunics. You shall anoint them as you anoint their father and that they may minister to me as priest. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Thus Moses did. According to all that the Lord commanded him, he did. Came to pass in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up. So what an exciting day. The building was finished, in other words. Isn't this great? What a day of rejoicing. So Moses raised up the tabernacle, fastened its sockets, set up its boards, put up its bars, raised the pillars, spread the tent over the tabernacle for a covering, and put a tent on top of it as the Lord commanded Moses. Opening day. This is exciting. He took the testimony and put it in the ark, inserted the poles through the rings of the ark, and put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and brought the ark into the tabernacle, hung up the veil of the covering, partitioned off the ark of the testimony as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the table in the tabernacle of meeting on the north side of the tabernacle outside the veil. He set the bread in order before the Lord as the Lord had commanded. Again, this is that holy place. He put the lampstand in the tabernacle of meeting across from the table on the south side of the tabernacle. And he lit the lamps before the Lord as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the gold altar in the tabernacle of meeting in front of the veil. He burned sweet incense on it. Again, there's those prayers going up to God, that sweetness as the Lord had commanded Moses. He hung up the screen of the door of the tabernacle, so the entrance. He put the altar of burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. And he offered upon it the burnt offering and the grain offering as the Lord had commanded Moses. He set the laver, that is the place of washing for the priest, between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and put water there for washing. And Moses and Aaron and the sons would wash their hands and their feet with water. And again, that picture of being clean before God before we minister, having our hearts right before we minister. Whenever they went into the tabernacle of meeting, and when they came near the altar, they washed as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he raised up the court all around the tabernacle of the altar. He hung up the screen on the court gate, and Moses finished the work. What a great verse. So Moses finished the work. Again, completed project. I love it. And now as we finish these last few verses, this is what it's all about, guys. This is really where we started in chapter 35. The Lord's got to be the central focus. All the details to get the building built have to be done. But what is the end goal? The end goal is so that the glory of the Lord might be seen in that place. I love it. Verse 34. Then, I have it underlined, then The cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Then when they did everything that the Lord told them to do. So when we do everything the Lord tells us to do, what is going to be the result? Now, we're talking about a building project with Moses, and I could make the application to our building project. If we do everything God has told us to do as a body, then we'll see the glory of the Lord there at the building. But I want to bring this down to a personal level as we finish tonight, and that is, if you and I will do everything that the Lord asks us to do, then we will see the glory of the Lord in his tabernacle. The Bible says you're the tabernacle. You are the house of God. You're the temple of God. He lives within you. And if you do everything the Lord says, the cloud of the Lord will cover you, the glory of the Lord will fill your temple, and his glory will be seen in you. And we as a church, God's glory will be seen in us as well if we do that. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Man, I wish that it would be so strong in here with God's Spirit one day that we couldn't come in. You know, it'd be like, man, I'd want to get in there, but we can't. Like, you know, just kind of, wow, love it. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in their journeys. But, and this is huge, if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. In other words, note this very last thing here. The very last principle of after they've done all that God has asked them, the glory of the Lord is being revealed. Now, the very last thing that he points out is this. They did nothing after that except for the leading of the Lord. If the cloud went, they went. If the cloud stayed, they stayed. Wouldn't it be awesome today if we had a cloud to follow around? I wish I had a cloud to follow around, because I could never miss the will of God. I really do. I'd like to have a cloud I could see. Sometimes I think Moses had it pretty good when it came to that aspect, because sometimes I can't tell what it is the Lord wants me to do. Well, it's cloudy, all right, but it's not the cloud of the Lord. And so they were only doing what God told them to do and only going where God told them to go, and they wouldn't do anything otherwise. And that's how we have got to be. Lord, you show us what to do. You tell us how to do it. You give us direction. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout their journeys. Isn't that awesome? So we finished 5 chapters. How about that? Now, we cheated a little bit, I gather, but you covered all those in earlier chapters. So really, you covered it all. We didn't cheat. But guys, here's the bottom line. Look, when it comes to a physical project, if we all get involved, we're going to see God's blessing. We're going to see this thing come together, not only quickly, but we're going to see it come together and be a done deal. And so we can make all kinds of physical applications to the building, and they are appropriate. We've done that. But let's bring this down to a personal level of ourselves spiritually. And that is, if we will simply apply everything to our lives that God has asked us to apply, then we will see the glory of the Lord in our lives. And then the cloud will be so strong, people around us are not going to be able to avoid it. They're going to see that God's in us. They're going to see the work of the Lord in our life. Guys, I want that. Again, I think sometimes people around me may have a cloud, but I think it's often a cloud of confusion. I don't want to have a cloud of confusion around me. I want to have the cloud of the Lord's glory around me. And that only comes from doing all that the Lord has told us to do, making the temple ready, cleansing the temple, anointing the temple, washing the temple with water and oil, the water of the word and the oil of the spirit, as you wash your heart and your life, and then the glory will fill your life and God will use you.
The Old Testament book of Exodus might sound like a far-fetched plotline for a movie with lots of CGI, but the truth is, the accounts in Exodus actually happened, and there were startling results for the Israelites, as well as for the people of Egypt. God proved his sovereignty, reigning over weather, an entire nation's economy, and most importantly, the hearts of people. There was much loss and devastation that occurred due to consequences that God handed out in Egypt. But through this, he showed his might, power, and ability to bring his people who were imprisoned to a state of freedom. Now that's a plot line to get behind, seeing God bring about redemption on a grand scale. If you're wrestling with anything you've heard today about God or his ways, we'd be happy to talk with you and pray about anything that feels unsettling. You can fill out a question or comment form at thewaymedia.net. Under the Come to the Table link, you can also give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that's 865-609-1385. If you're in the Knoxville area, please come join us at Calvary Knoxville, Simply go to thewaymedia.net and find the link at the bottom of the homepage to get service times and directions. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this series, we encourage you to find them on thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app. Pastor Mark has more to share from this book next time, so make sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.